The Bible speaks to us about the grace of God and salvation in several different ways. One of the main ways is that God did not leave us alone, but he sent his Son into the world, born of a woman, fully God, fully man, like us in every way except for sin, and that he lived the life we were supposed to live and then offered himself on the cross as a sin offering. He was buried, and then on the third day God raised him up from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. God sending his Son was one of the main tokens of God's grace, without which no one could be saved. But if that's all of God's grace to us, then it would do us no good. The other part of God's grace that the Bible speaks of in a very personal way is changing us and bringing us to Christ, so that what Christ did for us can be made real to us and applied to us. This part of God's grace is what Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 2, when he says that we were dead in trespasses and sins, in which we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. And then he begins to speak of this personal grace of God, applying what Christ did to us. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You see, he's speaking of this other side of grace, where the work of Christ comes to us, and we come to Christ and to God through him. He said, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. The picture here we get is beautifully shown to us when Jesus brings forth Lazarus from the grave. Now, he did this shortly before Christ went to the cross, and he did it as a picture of the coming resurrection. But what happened to Lazarus was not a resurrection. It was what we would call a resuscitation. In other words, Lazarus goes into the grave. He comes back out of the grave the same way he went in. Jesus went into the grave and burst through the other side in a new form of glorified life that had never been seen before. But nevertheless, bringing back Lazarus from the grave is a picture of the grace of God to us in Christ. It's a picture of what the Westminster Shorter Catechism calls effectual calling. It says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. What that means is that we were incapable of ourselves of responding to God. And in this, you have to remember that the Bible speaks of freedom in a different way than we think of freedom. We think of freedom as the right to choose what we want. The Bible speaks of freedom as the power to choose what we should. To us, freedom is a right to do what we want. In the Bible, freedom's power. It's power to choose what we should. Now, if I were to set on this table here two types of food, on one end I put your favorite dessert. On the other end, I'm going to put a food that's really, really good for you. Maybe it's Brussels sprouts or something like that, but something that you really don't like. And then every day I bring you in here and I say, freely choose. Freely choose. We see it's not a question of availability. Christ is available to all, and all are called to come and to choose Christ. The problem is that you have no power to choose what you want. You have no power to change that. And so you're always going to pick the food you like. You're going to pick the tasty dessert. You're not going to pick the thing that's really good for you, but which you don't like. That's a different form of freedom, and that's the way the Bible speaks of freedom. We don't have the power to change what we want. And so it's not a matter of availability. Christ is available to all. It's a matter of ability to change our hearts so that having been in a state of hostility toward God, of suppressing His truth, of turning away from Him, of not wanting Him in our lives, interfering in our lives, and so forth, we don't have any ability to change that. God has to do something. That's what the Bible talks about being dead. It just, we don't have the ability to change ourselves to suddenly we respond to God. Suddenly we turn toward God. We listen to Him. We hear Him. We believe what He's saying. We can understand it. And our hearts go out to Him and we embrace Him in faith. Now, so Jesus called out to Lazarus. Lazarus is in the tomb. All kinds of people can say things to Lazarus. Lazarus cannot respond. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, something happens because Lazarus comes forth. There's something different about this. It's kind of like if you have a dead battery in your car. You go out, you turn the key, there's no response. Okay, is the battery being stubborn? No, it can't change. It can't respond. It's dead. Now, if you go out there suddenly, having tested it thoroughly, you go out there all of a sudden and you turn the key and the car fires off immediately. What do you know? Somebody's been tinkering around under the hood. This battery has been regenerated. It's been made alive and now it responds. That's what happens to us. When we've been hearing the gospel all our life and not responding and turning away, and then suddenly one day we read the scriptures, we hear the scriptures, or somebody talks to us, and suddenly there's a different response there, we know that God has been tinkering around under the hood. There has been a regeneration. There's been a change in us. Now, that's not to say that we're not involved in responding to the gospel. Lazarus was involved. Lazarus made a choice. Lazarus heard Christ's voice, and he got up and he came. It was him who came. It was Lazarus who did that. He came out of the grave. But he could only do that because God worked a change in him, making him alive, regenerating him by the Holy Spirit. And so we're integrally involved in our own salvations. We're integrally involved in our own conversions, just like a baby is integrally involved in being born, is it not? But it would be an error to say that the baby has initiated this birth, initiated this new life. This is the grace of God to us through Christ, and so that we, like Paul, can say, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself to me. And one of the ways that God makes that personal to each of us is He brings it to us personally.